वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः हरे कृष्ण Hare Krishna. Yes. Okay, you are resonating too much? Is it okay? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, so we are continuing discussion on 8th canto. Today morning also I just, whatever I was studying along with all of you, I just spoke something from Gajendra prayers. Right? So we are continuing our discussion on 8th canto only. Today chapter 6, carrying Manda, the demigods and demons declare a truce. Text 1. Shri Shuka Uvacha. एमं सुतः सुरगणैर् भगवान् हरिरीश्वरः तेषामाविर्भूद्राजन् सश्रार्कोदयोद्युतिः
श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी सेड ओ किंग परीक्षित द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड इड हरि बीइंग दस वर्शिप विथ प्रेयर्स बाय द डेमिगॉड्स एंड लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा अपीयर्ड बिफोर देम His body refulgence resembled the simultaneous rising of the thousands of suns.
Okay, so so Lord Brahma offered how many verses of prayers? 25 verses of prayer on behalf of demigods, right? And therefore, evam suta asura ganair. Thus being offered prayers by demigods, right? Asura ganair. Or actually Lord Brahma on behalf of demigods, right? So that, but they are together in that sense. So the Lord Tesham Avirbhud Rajan Sahasra Ark Udayo Dyutihi. When the Lord appeared, he was as brilliant as thousands of suns. Sahasra Ark. That is mentioned. Text 2. Tenaiva Sahasa Sarve Deva Pradihatekshana Napashyan Kham Dishashonim आत्मानं चाकुतो विभुम्
The vision of all the demigods was blocked by the Lord's effulgence. Thus they could see neither the sky, the directions, the land, nor even themselves. What to speak of seeing the Lord, who was present before them.
Okay, so now the Lord's beauty is described. For the Lord's effulgence is described. Right? They could not see. But the Lord's beauty is being described then. Right? So when the Lord reveals, then a person can see. Right? Virincho Bhagavan Drishtva Saha Sarvena Tam Tanum Swachham Markat Hashyamam कंजगर्भारुणेक्षणम् तप्तहेमावदातेन लसत्कौशेयवासस प्रसन्नचारु सर्वांगिम् सुमुखिम् सुन्दरभ्रुवम् महामणिकिरीटेन केयूराभ्याम् च भूषिताम् कर्णाभरणनिर्भात कपोलश्रीमुखाम्बुजम् कञ्चिकालापवलया हारनुपुरशोभिताम् काष्ठुभावरणाम् लक्ष्मीम् बिभ्रतिम् वनमालिनीम् दर्शनादिभिर्स्वस्त्रैर् मूर्तिमद्भिरुपासिताम् तुष्टावदेव प्रवरा सशर्वा पुरुषम् परम् सर्वामर गणेशाकम् सर्व अंगैर अवनिमगते.
Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva, saw the crystal clear personal beauty of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose blackish body resembles a marked gem, whose eyes are reddish like the depth of a lotus, who is dressed with garments that are yellow like molten gold, and whose entire body is attractively decorated. They saw his beautiful smiling lotus-like face, crowned by a helmet bedecked with valuable jewels. The Lord has attractive eyebrows, and his cheeks are adorned with earrings. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva saw the belt on Lord's waist, the bangles on his arms, the necklace on his chest, and the ankle bells on his legs. The Lord is bedecked with flower garlands, his neck is decorated with Kaustubh gem, and he carries with him the goddess of fortune and his personal weapons, like his disc and club. When Lord Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other demigods, thus saw the form of Lord, they all immediately fell to the ground, offering their obeisances.
Okay, so five verses are describing the Lord's beauty, right? So you can break these verses in three sections logically: the Lord's personal beauty, then the beauty of his ornaments, decorations, flower garlands, and then surrounding by the beauty of this surrounding by various associates, goddess of fortune, personal weapons in their personified form. So in like that, you know, in three. So this is in threefold, you know, you can study these five verses in three divisions, like that. Right? Okay, so then text 8. Verses 8 to 15, Lord Brahmaji offers again prayers. Right? अभी तो इतना प्रेयर बोला पहले भगवान आगे दोबारा प्रेयर्स इन एट मोर प्रेयर्स राइट. सो एक्चुअली when you become happy on reading and studying prayers, then you are developing taste for reading Srimad Bhagavatam. So you should understand, right? When you become joyful at another prayers, right, you become enlivened, happy to study another set of prayers, then you are developing taste for Bhagavatam, right? Because all prayers are actually unique, right? There is a unique sentiment, unique feature of the Lord described, right? Or the mood of the prayer is unique. So in this way, all prayers are actually unique, right? So when we can see that uniqueness in each prayer, see the different beauty in each prayer, then we are developing our taste for Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? therefore Bhagavatam is filled with prayers. You know, the whole book, all received that book. Prarthanavali, what is the name? Bhagavat Prarthanavali. Right? Just the prayers, right? The fact, right? So Bhagavatam is filled with so many prayers. And you know, there are beautiful realizations of Lord glories in that prayers, you know, because different devotees offer prayers, right, in different moods. So the Lord's various features are revealed in that sense, you know, from various perspective you can understand the glories of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, right? You get so many different perspectives of so many different devotees, right? So therefore we have to see the uniqueness in each prayer, right? So Lord Brahma is offering further 8 prayers to the Lord. Shri Brahma Uvacha Ajat janma sthiti samyama Unaya nirvana sukarnavaya Anoranimne pariganya damne Mahanubhavaya namo namaste.
Lord Brahma said, although you are never born, your appearance and disappearance as an incarnation never cease. You are always free from the material qualities, and you are the shelter of transcendental bliss resembling an ocean. Eternally existing in your transcendental form, you are the supreme subtle of the most extremely subtle. We therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto you, the supreme, whose existence is inconceivable.
Okay, so Lord Brahma is saying, Ajat janma sthiti samya maya. Although you are never born, right, still your birth and sthiti. Sthiti means existence, right? So your birth and your existence, Vishwanath Thakur explains, as action. No one can exist without performing action, right? So sthiti also implies action. No conscious being can exist without action, Vishwanath Thakur says. Therefore, although you are unborn, still your birth and action continuously go on. There is no destruction. There is no ending of your birth and action. And then Lord Brahma says that you always manifest as all species in this particular verse. He's saying you manifest as all species Bhagwan, as ocean of impersonal happiness, and as all-pervading Paramatma. Right? So that's how that is also the like threefold sthiti of the Lord in that sense. Right? So here the word gunaya actually is agunaya, because the a is in the previous line, it's a together. Right? So the Lord's agunaya words indicate what? That he has no material quality, means he is filled with all auspicious qualities. That is a gunaya. That refers to Bhagavan. Then, nirvana sukharnavaya. See the second line. You are ocean of impersonal happiness. That is the Brahman feature of the Lord. And anor animne. You are smaller than the smallest. Right? all pervading. That is the Paramatma feature of the Lord, right? He is smaller, he enters into every atom. He is smaller than the atom also. So therefore, in summary, right, I just try to write, say, the summary of this verse in one's own words. Brahma is saying, obeisance to the Lord, who always manifests as all auspicious Bhagwan, as an ocean of impersonal happiness, Brahman, and the all-pervading Paramatma. Another point mentioned here is that the Lord's form which He manifests is Aparigannya Dhamne. Right? Now this is the form of the Lord is Bhagwan. Any form in this world, actually, form means that a person becomes limited by that form. Is it not? When anything has a form, it is limited by space. Right? Right, you say this is a form. So, but the Lord's form is actually Aparigannya. It's not limited form. Although he looks like has a human form, but that form is not limited. Right? Because usually in this world, any form means that form is limited. But the Lord's form is, even his personal form, is not limited. Right? Therefore, that is his Achinta Shakti, Mahanubhava. Is indicated Mahanubhavaya Namo Namaste. Right? Although you take up this form, but still you are unlimited. Right? Therefore, all this is possible because of your inconceivable energy. Prabhupada says in the last three lines of the purport, the word Aparigannya Dhamne is very significant. There is no limit to the Lord's appearance in different incarnations. All of these incarnations are eternally blissful and full of knowledge. Right? So there is no limit. The Lord is unlimited in each single form, and there are unlimited forms. So two meanings of Aparigannya. Right? One form is also unlimited, is not limited. And the number of forms are also unlimited. Aparigannya Dhamne. Yes. Yes. So the Lord, even the Lord's personal form possesses all the, he can perform anything, is not limited by the space, is not limited by the time. Right? The Lord He all the potencies, the whole unlimited universe exists within that form also, the Lord shows. Right? So even the Lord, we see that his form, but that form is also not limited in any way. It has, it can perform anything, any task. It contains all the multitude of universes within him. Right? Contains all the material and spiritual manifestation within him. And that very form is also all-pervading, we say. Right? Right? So, therefore, even the Lord's personal form is also unlimited. And we can see from various points of view that way. he expanded his form in the form, right? He showed in the as Vamandev, right? He expanded, he showed that his form is unlimited. He can actually cover everything, even within that form. Right? So like that. So even the Lord's form, even personal form is actually also unlimited. Lord Brahma says, Aparigannya Dhamne. Text 9, Rupam Tavetat पुरुषार्भभेज्यम तत्पुरुषार्षभेज्यम श्रेयोर्थिभिर्वैदिकतान्त्रिकेन योगेन धाता सहनस्त्रिलोकान् पश्यामि मुष्मिन् उह विश्वमूर्तो
List of persons. O Supreme Director, those who actually aspire for supreme good fortune worship this form of your Lordship. According to the Vedic Tantras, my Lord, we can see all these three worlds in you.
Okay, so in this verse, Lord Brahma basically saying that Lord's form is immeasurable, eternal, auspicious and always worshipable. Right? So you should be able to study this verse from this angle. The Lord's form is immeasurable, eternal, auspicious and always worshipable. And in the last line, Pashyami Amushmin Uha Vishwa Murto. My Lord, we can see all the three worlds in you. Right? You are Vishwamurti. That means one who sees the Lord sees everything. One who worships the Lord worships everyone. That is the connotation of the last line. So first three lines, Rupam Tavetad Purusharsh Bhejyam, right? We discussed four things. Is Lord, your form is immeasurable, eternal, auspicious and always worshipable. So that you should understand from the first three lines. Shreyo, right? That is, it bestows ultimate auspiciousness. Ijyam refers to worshipable, right? Ritibhir Vedic Tantrikena Yogena Dhata Sahanastri Lokan. Right? Your form is not worshipable just now, it has always been worshipable. That means your form is eternal. So in this way you will see these four qualities mentioned in the first three lines. And the last line says, one who knows you knows everyone. One who worships you worship everyone. Like that. And Prabhupada mainly talks about that aspect only. Yasmin vigyate sarvam evam vigyatam bhavati. When the devotee sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his meditation or when he sees the Lord personally, face to face, he becomes aware of everything within the universe. So knowing Krishna means knowing everything. That's mainly Prabhupada talks about that. So there was a person in So some reporter or some person came to meet Prabhupada in London. And he said, we have heard that a guru is all-knowing, Because Prabhupada also talks about that, That a person, everyone to know Supreme Lord, one should approach a guru, Tadvidhi Pranipaten, right? He knows Krishna, he can give the knowledge of Krishna. So person asked, guru is all-knowing. And we have heard. Prabhupada said, yes. So he said, so you are a guru, that means you are all knowing. Prabhupada said, yes. He said, okay, then please tell how many windows are there in the Empire State Building. He wanted to kind of checkmate Prabhupada. There is some Empire State Building and they must have many, many windows, So he said, how many windows, if your guru is all knowing, one who knows Krishna, knows everything, then how many windows are there in this building? And Prabhupada gave a very beautiful reply. Prabhupada said, how many drops in the mirage? How many drops of water in the mirage? Right? You understood? He said, all these things are not to be known. This is all illusory. The whole material world, how many windows here? And all the knowledge of the material world is illusory knowledge. Prabhupada said, you are asking how many drops of water in the mirage? Right? That is, so he knows Krishna, right? He knows the way to approach Krishna. He knows how to serve Krishna. There is something, basically, you know, the whole knowledge is divided into three aspects. Right? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that in three ways you should study all the scriptures. Right? About Krishna, what are his energies, what are his potencies. Then, basically, Krishna Tattva, Bhakti Tattva and Rasa Tattva. Krishna Tattva includes the personality of Krishna, his energies, you know, his expansions and all that. Krishna Tattva. Then you should study Bhakti Tattva in all the detail. How one can serve Krishna, how one can approach Krishna. And then one should study in perfection what are the loving reciprocations with Krishna. That Guru knows about everything. If he knows these three things, he knows everything. Right? Not all the illusory knowledge, you know, about various material sciences. It's like a drops of water in the mirage. So Prabhupada said in the last few lines of the purport, one must therefore accept the disciplic succession from Lord Brahma. And then one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead in fullness. Right? In fullness. Right? Similarly, we say, one who knows Krishna, he knows all the Vedas. Someone says, hey, okay, quote Skanda Puran, you know, this chapter, this verse. So no, he knows what all they meant to teach, you know, what all they are directing towards person, he knows. Right? So one who knows the ultimate goal, he knows everything. Therefore, knowing Krishna in that sense also means knowing everything. You got the point? Right? So one who knows Krishna, he knows all the Vedas also. Right? Because Krishna himself says that. So we go to text 10. Toi yagra asit, toi madhya asit.
Toi yagra asit,
toi madhya asit. Toi anta asit idam atma tantre. Tamadiranto jagatasya madhyam. Gatasya mrisneva paraparasmat.
My dear Lord, who are always fully independent, this entire cosmic manifestation arises from you, rests upon you, and ends in you. Your Lordship is the beginning, sustenance, and end of everything, like the earth, which is the cause of an earthen pot, which supports the pot, and to which the pot, when broken, finally returns.
So, here in this verse, Lord Brahma is explaining that how the Lord Himself is the form of this universe. Right? Lord Himself is the form of this universe. In the beginning, in the middle, and in the end, this universe is nothing but you, Lord Brahma is saying. Okay? Agra asid, toi madhya asid, toi anta asid. So, in its beginning stage, in the middle, in the end, this universe is nothing but you. But still, you have your own separate existence. And you never transform. Right? Ghatasya mrisnev para parasmad. You are still beyond. This universe is nothing but you, but still you have a separate existence. Right? So that is the point being made in this. So the whole universe is basically the transformation of Prakriti, Krishna's energy. It's not transformation of the Lord. Guru text tammaya atma shreya suyedam nirmaya vishvam tadanu pravishta pashyanti yukta manasa manishino guna vivaye pyagunam vipashita.
O Supreme, you are independent in yourself and do not take help from others. Through your own potency, you create this cosmic manifestation and enter into it. Those who are advanced in Krishna consciousness, who are fully in knowledge of the authoritative Shastra, and who, through the practice of Bhakti Yoga, are cleansed of all material contamination, can see with clear minds that although you exist within the transformation of the material qualities, your presence is untouched by these qualities.
Okay, so if this whole world is a transformation of Prakriti, then Prakriti should be the cause of the universe, right? Right? This whole world is the transformation of material nature, material modes of nature, then that should be the cause. But Lord Brahma is saying, no, you are not transformed. Right? It's the transformation of Prakriti. But still, you are the cause. We see you as the cause. Right? So Lord Brahma basically here in saying, Vishnu Thakur says, those who are wise, discerning and concentrated in mind, three things mentioned, those who are wise, discerning means those who can see the right thing and see the, separate the truth from the lie, or you know, truth from the untruth, discerning. So those who have wisdom or wise, and those who are discerning and concentrated in mind, can see that Prakriti depends upon you. That Prakriti is not independent. They can see that. Right? They can see that you exist within the Prakriti, but you are never touched by it. Right? So there's a point Lord Brahma is making. Prakriti is dependent upon you. The whole material world is transferred to Prakriti, but Prakriti is dependent upon you. You exist within this Prakriti. Right? That's how Prakriti is activated. But you are never touched by it. Right? So that's the point Lord Brahma is making. So how the Lord exists within the universe is being described in this way. Right? So Prabhupada quotes this verse, Maya Dakshen Prakriti Suete Sacharacharam. Right? So this Prakriti is under Lord's control. So therefore you are the cause. Guru text 12. यथाग्निमेदस्य अमृतं च गोषु मुवन्नम् अबुद्धयमने च वृत्तिम् योगैर्मनुष्या अधियन्ति हि त्वाम् गुणेषु बुद्ध्या गवयो वदन्ति.
As one can derive fire from wood, milk from the milk bag of the cow, food grains and water from the land, and prosperity in one's livelihood from industrial enterprises, so by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, even within this material world, one can achieve your favor or intelligently approach you. Those who are pious all affirm this.
So now, after explaining that how the Lord exists, Lord Brahma is saying, how a person can realize you, right? So basically Lord Brahma is saying that you can be realized within this material world if people take to the right process. So that is being described. Now Lord Brahma gives four examples. Right? Four examples are given this word, which illustrates the process of bhakti actually, which gives us some indication, some aspect of the process of bhakti. Right? So, there is a fire within the wood, right? How that fire is realized? By friction, by rubbing. Is it not? Right? So what can that be compared to? In the process of realizing the Lord. Can we compare this process of realizing the Lord to igniting the, just like by rubbing, the wood is ignited. So what is the equivalent of that? Huh? Gyanamarg, you are saying? Okay. Well, within the bhakti. So we can say hearing and chanting. You know, it's like studying the scriptures is rubbing one's intelligence against the words of the scriptures. Chanting the Mahamantra is like rubbing the mind with the mantra, right? So then we will realize the presence of the Lord by the chanting, by hearing and chanting, by studying of scriptures, right? So like that. So that can be compared to rubbing one's mind and intellect, right? So if we follow that process, we can realize the Lord even within this material world. Lord Brahma is giving these examples. Then second example given is milk from the milk bag of the cow. Milk from milk bag of the cow. Huh? Okay, Vishwanath Thakur gives a nice example. He says, if milk bag of the cow can be extracted, if the calf is first let loose, and the calf drink the milk, then the milk starts flowing. Right? You have seen that. Very first-hand realization, right? So, the calves are like the devotees. In the devotee's presence, the Lord is realized. Right? Looks like the Arjuna is like a calf, right? You have heard? Right? There is a verse where it says, Arjuna is like the calf, sarva gavo, what is that verse? Dugdha Gopala Nandana, right? All the Vedas are like the you know, like a calf, and Arjuna is like a calf, and you know, Krishna. Sarva Upanishado Gavo Dugdha Gopala Nandana. Parth Vatsa. Parth is compared to a calf, right? So this, because Krishna spoke, we can also realize hearing his word, right? Krishna spoke for Arjuna, being affectionate to his devotee, right? So Parth, Arjuna is compared to the calf, right? So therefore, in the association of devotees who are like the calf, right, the milk, the one can know the Supreme Lord, which is like which is compared here to the milking of the cow, right? So knowing the Lord is like extracting the milk from the cow. A calf can do that very easily. So in the association of devotees, you know, the cow will give milk, the Lord will reveal. Right? When we are associating with the devotees, hearing and chanting along with them, then the Lord reveals that. You got the second example? Then the third example. Food, grain and water from the land. How is food, grain and water obtained from the land? By digging. What can the digging be compared to? Yeah, digging can be compared to, Guru's instruction. Okay, what else? The digging? Okay. So various ways of worshipping the Lord is compared to the digging. Right? So if we worship the deity form of the Lord, or performing various other processes of, you know, worshipping Krishna, that is compared to digging the earth. And then by that worship, the Lord revealed himself. Right? Then the last one is one's own bhuyannam ambud udyame cha vrittim. Udyam, Prabhupada says industrial enterprise. Right? Anyway, basically by one's own effort, you know, when one does udyam, one performs, one puts lot of energy, right? Udyam. Then also by again the same, when one puts our endeavor is needed, right? From our side, as we say that how Krishna is revealed by his mercy, but our endeavor is required. So the last one talks of when a devotee endeavors hard, right? Again in performing Navavidha Bhakti itself, when a devotee endeavors hard to serve Krishna in various ways, so then the Lord appears. Right? So the four examples, so basically the whole thing is that giving these four examples means to follow the right process. Hearing and chanting, right? In the association of the devotees and worshipping the Lord with Lord of Endeavor, basically. You know, in these four lines we can summarize that one will be able to realize the Lord. Right? If this process is followed. So Prabhupada also talks about that in the third paragraph of the purport. So Prabhupada says, in this verse the cultivation, this is the third paragraph, in this verse the cultivation of bhakti yoga is compared to many material activities. By friction one can get fire from the wood. By digging the earth one can get food and grain from the water. By agitating the milk bag of the cow one can get nectarian milk. Right? And then Prabhupada talks about, mainly in the purport, about the importance of drinking milk. Sorry? Yeah, the milk you are saying, Amritam cha goshu, is a nectar coming from the cow. Right? It's not just directly milk. So Prabhupada says, in the 7th or 8th line of the Parabhat, although in this age men can live up to 100 years, their duration of life is reduced because they do not drink large quantities of milk. Right? Basically, Prabhupada said one should protect the cow and drink milk, not just simply drinking milk. Prabhupada talks of protecting the cows, right? And then serving the cow, and then they give milk, and then one actually gains longevity, good, you know, brain tissues, good health, everything conducive for serving Krishna. Right? So like that. Although Prabhupada talks about, you know, a lot about cow protection and agriculture in this purport, if you say again in the fifth paragraph, Prabhupada says, agriculture and cow protection are the way to become sinless and thus be attracted to devotional service. So Prabhupada basically, Goraksha and Vanijyam, Prabhupada talks about in this purport elaborately. However, in the end he says, you know, that if people do this, they can become sinless and they can become attached. But then finally Prabhupada said the majority of people in this age, if you see in the same paragraph, the majority of people in this age of Kali are sinful, short-living, unfortunate and disturbed. Therefore, let them chant Hare Krishna, you know. Even if one is unable to, in that sense, you know, make a perfect conducive environment, right, a sinless environment, a peaceful environment, you know, as Prabhupada recommend, a sinless life, still let him chant the holy names of the Lord, right? And then he will be able to make his life successful. Go to text 13. Tam tvam vayam nath sumajjihanam sarojanabhati chire sitartham nishtvagata nirvitamadya sarve gajadavarta iva gangamambha.
Elephants afflicted by forest fire become very happy when they get water from the Ganges. Similarly, O my Lord, from whose navel grows a lotus flower, since you have now appeared before us, we have become transcendentally happy. By seeing your Lordship, whom we have desired to see for a very long time, we have achieved our ultimate goal in life.
So they are saying, now that you have appeared before us, we have obtained the success of our life. Right? So, last verse he describes the process. Right? First he describes how the Lord exists, then the process of realizing Him, and then now he is describing that we have achieved the success of life. So in this way you can see that first he describes Krishna Tattva, how the Lord exists, then there is a process of attaining, and then the goal. So, I think we have attained the goal. So, in this way, you know, Samandha Vide Prayojan, you can see that flow within the prayers. Right? So, now we have obtained the success that we are able to see you before us. So, is seeing the Lord goal of life? What do you say? But Brahmaji is saying that we wanted to see you for a long time, now that you are before us, we have achieved the ultimate goal of life. You are saying, seeing the Lord is not the goal of life. But Brahmaji is saying, we have attained the ultimate goal of life. So seeing the Lord with eyes of devotion, to see the Lord with the eyes filled with devotion, that is the goal of life. Right? So without that, their seeing is not seeing only. Right? So therefore, Lord Brahma saying, we have achieved the ultimate goal of life. So Prabhupada writes very beautifully, the devotees of the Lord are always very eager to see the Supreme Lord face to face. Right? So, the eagerness to see the Lord is actually not a wrong desire. It's every devotee should have that eagerness. But one should know the right way to see the Lord, right? One should know the process to see the Lord. So, if the person is eager to see the Lord, he should be eager to serve the Lord. That's the point. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you should not try to see the Lord. And Prabhupada is saying the devotees of the Lord are very eager to see the Lord. Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out at sentimentally seeing the Lord. You know, just having that sentiment only, without any substance. So just the sentiment, you know, how can I see the Lord? Where to see the Lord? No. You are eager to see the Lord by your service attitude, right? You render service to the Lord, and then when the Lord, Lord will reveal himself. So that eagerness, there is every devotee should have that eagerness, right? At many places Prabhupada says that the devotee should be eager to see the Lord, but simultaneously he should wait, right? He cannot demand. He's eager, but he cannot demand. He should wait for the Lord to reveal, and he should continue to serve the Lord. So if a devotee is serving the Lord, that service is synonymous to seeing the Lord, because surely that service will bring him to see the Lord, will bring him to the point. So a right process is many times equated with the result itself. If a person is following the right process, that is equated as good as he has obtained the result, actually. Right? So therefore, to serve the Lord means to see the Lord. For by service, Lord will surely manifest before a devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was refusing King Prataparudra an audience, you know, a personal audience. But Sarabha Bhattacharya, when he expresses his eagerness and when he serves the Lord devotees, when they all come, he arranges all the living quarters, nice prasadam and everything. When he serves the Lord devotees and shows his eagerness, the Lord is saying, I will not see King Prataparudra. Sarvam Bhattacharya says, my dear King, the Lord will surely see you. He says, hey, ye kya chal raha hai? Oh, Bhagwan khud bol rahe ki main unko nahi dekhunga. Aur Sarvam Bhattacharya bole, nahi nahi, dekhenge tumko. He will see you. You know, because you have this service attitude and eagerness, surely the Lord will one day, you know, actually see you, right? So therefore, there's an important point over here. So therefore, Prabhupada says, the devotees of the Lord are always very eager to see the Supreme Lord face to face, but they do not demand that the Lord come before them. For a pure devotee considers such a demand to be contrary to devotional service. Right? Again, Prabhupada says in the last line, a pure devotee, whether able or unable to see the Lord, always engages in the Lord devotional service, always hoping that at some time the Lord may be pleased to appear before him so that he can see the Lord face to face. Right? So therefore, these 3-4 considerations in seeing the Lord are addressed by Prabhupada over here. Right? He is eager to see the Lord, but doesn't demand, but continues to render service and increasing his eagerness. And that's the perfect attitude. So therefore, Lord Brahma is saying that now you have yourself appeared before us, you have been very eager, now we have obtained the ultimate goal.
Sotam vidatsva khila lokapala Vayam yadarthastava padamulam Samagataste bahirantaratman Kimvanya vigyavayam ashesha shakshina.
My Lord, we the various demigods, the directors of this universe, have come to your lotus feet. Please fulfill the purpose for which we have come. You are the witness of everything from within and without. Nothing is unknown to you, and therefore it is unnecessary to inform you again of anything.
Okay, so now the Lord is before them. You know, you think they have glorified the Lord in choices verses with great devotion, right? And now they are saying, my Lord, please do for what we have come to you. Please give back the swarga. Now they put their request. Right? Please fulfill the purpose for which we have come. The Lord says, what purpose? You know everything. Right? You know everything, they sing. You are within everyone, you are outside, well, as well, you are within everyone. Therefore, nothing is unknown to you. Right? What do we have to say? You know everything. Please fulfill that purpose. Yes, so sometimes it looks contrary, you know, they are glorifying the Lord with great devotion. You know, baad mein bolte swarg de do. You know, so and the Lord does give them, right? The Lord does arrange for that, right? So actually, yes, one has to approach always the Lord and render great devotion. But still, as long as the person is in material world, he is situated materially, he has many responsibilities also, right? So now the demigods, they can't immediately give up their responsibility as well as their attachment to execute that responsibility. Both the things are there. Right? So demigods have been given the charge of administrative affairs. They have been given charge of administrative affairs not that because the Lord was in need in that sense. They also had administrative proclivities. Both the things we are saying. So someone has to take charge of administration and someone also has to also rule, you know, because of his own desire to lord it over, become an administrator, become an Isha. Right? So they have this Ish Pravitti. Administration is required anyway. So therefore, both are matched over here. So they can't immediately give that up. Right? So they are expressing their devotion, but they can't immediately give it up. So as sadhakas, we can't always immediately, you know, just artificially pretend that we only want pure devotional service from the Lord. Right? If we are executing some responsibility given to us, as per our nature, you know, it is required, that service is required, plus we also need to do particular service, as in demigods. We need Lord's protection, Lord's guidance, Lord's help. We can ask for it in a devotional way. Right? It doesn't go against that. Getting the point? Right? So, but ultimately knowing that this is, we are doing that, but ultimately we want to take complete shelter, as we were discussing this morning also. Kardamuni, he asked the Lord, right? He worshipped the Lord with great devotion. It's not that it was a pretension, right? But he asked for a suitable wife from the Lord to execute his religious duties, which are not against devotional service, right? So like that. So these demigods, they offer the prayer with devotion, but then they beg for something which they have to do, you know, they have to carry out this responsibility. And in doing this, they advance further. Right, in carrying out that as per the will of the Lord, they advance further. Right, so they do. They so therefore we have to see that we have to see the harmony over herein, right, between their responsibilities and between their devotional service, right, like that. So, Prabhupada says here. Fourth line, since he is the witness of every one's body, nothing is unknown to him. He knows what we need. So we can't deny our needs. Right? There are certain things we need from the Lord. Right? But Prabhupada says, our duty therefore is to execute devotional service sincerely under the direction of the spiritual master. Krishna by his grace will supply whatever we need in executing devotional service. In the Krishna conscious movement, we simply have to execute the order of Krishna and Guru. Then all necessities will be supplied by Krishna, even if we do not ask for them. Right? So demigods, they come and pray to the Lord and say, my Lord, you know whatever we need to do, you know. So Lord said, yes, fine. You know, don't have to explicitly express. Right? So Prabhupada says, okay, so our main concern should be to serve the Lord. Right? And of course the Lord knows that this person, you know, needs this particular, you know, situation, this particular support, right? These particular material circumstances, whatever, you know, etc. So the Lord arranges that. The Lord arranges that. So in one sense, if one has material desires, one can still approach the Lord and be freed from material desires, right? So in looking from one perspective, material desires, they do not impede receiving the mercy of Krishna, but the cultivation of material desires is very harmful to devotional service. Getting the point? So if one has some material desires, one should worship Krishna nicely, one's focus should be to serve Krishna. Then those material desires do not impose any impediment, as we see in the case of so many devotees. Right? But cultivation of material desires, that is a great stumbling block. There are two separate things, right? So one has material desire, one accepts that, one approaches the Lord, render devotional service, and the Lord does the needful, right? In a way that the devotee is freed from that material desires. But when a person cultivates material desires, right, consciously, and doesn't give his full energy, so therefore the point Prabhupada is saying, we very clearly see, Prabhupada said, okay, you have material desire accepted. Fine, you have certain needs. You don't make so many plans and everything, you know, put so much endeavor to realize that. You just worship the Supreme Lord. He will give. You focus on devotional service. You don't put all your endeavor and with your mind, with your intelligence, with all your energies trying to realize those material desires. You don't cultivate material desires. You cultivate devotional service. You have material desire, fine. Those material desires will not impede your receiving Krishna's mercy. You cultivate devotional service, not material desires. You understand the difference between the two? Right? So as far as cultivation is concerned, we should our goal should be to cultivate devotional service. Right? And gradually, by cultivating devotional service, we will actually be freed from the material desires. And whatever material desires are there will not become an impediment in receiving Krishna's mercy. Provided we are cultivating devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master. Right? So therefore, you know, the Lord does, you know, arranges the material needs to be fulfilled, right, for the demigods. Yes. 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 You know, that we spend so much of our effort, our energy in realizing material desires. So let all our efforts be to serve Krishna, right? And we express our material desire for him. Prabhupada said he will fulfill that, and then they will not become impediments. But if you try to fulfill your material desire, they will become a great impediment because you are trying to cultivate, right? Anyone else wants to add anything over here, or you remember, share any other example to support that? Or to oppose that.
Yes.
Anyway, so you clarify with him. And also share with me. Okay, we go ahead.
Aham giritrascha suradayo je dakshadayo agner ivaketa vaste kimva vidamesh prithag vibhata vidatsvasham no dvija deva mantram.
I, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and all the demigods, accompanied by Prajapatis like Daksha, are nothing but sparks illuminated by you, who are the original fire. Since we are particles of you, what can we understand about our welfare? O Supreme Lord, please give us the means of deliverance that is suitable for the Brahmanas and demigods.
Okay, so so Lord Vishnu Thakur says, the Lord may say, okay, you know, you tell me what should I do. You know, you may not be able to do, fine, I understand, you know, you have approached me, but you all are very clever people and very intelligent, you know, people, all of you have come, tell me what should be done. So they say, no, my Lord, you give the means, you decide the solution, right? You decide the solution, what is the best way, right, which is suitable for Brahmanas and the demigods, right? Give us the best means by which we can attain the kingdom, but we still can, go on doing our devotional service. We can still remain devoted to you, right? Brahmanas and demigods, they are always faithful to the Lord. Right? So therefore, they say, the Lord, you decide the means, right? So there's another important aspect, actually. When we approach the Lord, we should not suggest ke aisa aisa karenge to bahut acha hoga. अपना ओपिनियन नहीं लेके जाना चाहिए, यू नो. मेनी टाइम वी सजेस्ट, यू नो, वी सेड आई हैव ऑलरेडी मेड अ प्लान, यू नो, प्लीज पुट योर स्टैंप अपॉन इट, राइट? सो द डेमिगॉड्स आर नॉट डूइंग दैट एक्चुअली. सो दे आर सेइंग वी डू नॉट नो व्हाट इज बेस्ट फॉर अस, राइट? किम ना विदामेश पृथक विधाता vidhatsva sham no dvija deva mantram. We do not know. Sham means the best thing, auspicious things. We don't know what is the best auspicious way to execute a particular service. Right? So sometimes, many times we say, you know, that, okay, you know, I plan to go there, and already everything. Right? But actually, we should be open, you know, that the Lord knows the best means also. Right? Okay, I'm asking for a certain thing, but what is the best time, what is the best mean, what is the best way to execute a particular task, we should depend upon the Lord, that you may please guide me in that, right, in that way. And next, like Sanatana Goswami also says, that I do not know what is actually even good for me. Sanatana Goswami says that to the Lord, right? So therefore, you do whatever you think is best for me, right? That I don't know what will actually benefit me. Right? So like that. So therefore, this is the last prayer. Therefore, they are praying to the Lord in that way. So please, you give us the means of deliverance, right? So Prabhupada says, what is the means for deliverance from this world? Mantra. was said that mantra. Right? The word mantra means that which delivers one from the material world. Dvijadeva mantram. And then Prabhupada says deliverance from, sorry? Yeah. If the mind is delivered from material existence, one is delivered from the material existence. Right? One has conquered the mind, he has conquered this material existence. So, then Prabhupada says, deliverance from this struggle constitutes the highest benefit. This is the 8th line of the purport, 8th or 9th line. But, unless one gets a mantra from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, deliverance is impossible. Right? So, they are looking at a deliverance from the immediate problem that they have been deprived of swarga. But Prabhupada gives another perspective, transcendental perspective to deliverance over here. Right? So Prabhupada talks of deliverance on the material existence. Prabhupada gives a higher perspective in the purport. Right? So then Prabhupada talks about the mantra and he says, yes, the Gayatri mantra, right? The beginning mantra is the Gayatri mantra, which is given by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, after purification, when one is qualified to become a Brahmana, he is offered Gayatri mantra. Right? So this Gayatri mantra is suitable for Brahmanas and the demigods. Prabhupada says, right? But then he finally says, but in Kali Yuga, you know, Kali Yuga, the mantra for deliverance is Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Right? So technically, the name of the Lord is not just a mantra. It is the essence of the mantra. Right? Usually what applies to mantra doesn't apply to the holy name of the Lord. But still we call it mantra, mahamantra. Right? Because it gives you the essence of all mantras. Namavi nuka likale nahi yara dharm sarva mantra sara nama ee shastra marm. In Kali Yuga, the name of the Lord is the supreme dharma, chanting the name. Sarva mantra sar naam. Therefore, we call it Mahamantra. Therefore, naam should not be equated with just any scriptural mantra. Right? It is the essence of all the mantras. Because it gives the deliverance on the material existence as its byproduct. Right? As its byproduct. Like that. So, Prabhupada, takes the opportunity to glorify the chanting of the holy names in this particular purport. Right? So here the prayer of the Lord Brahma. And so if you see four verses, he describes the existence of the Lord, then a verse to realize it, and then he says, now we have achieved the ultimate realization by seeing you. And the next two verses, in the next verse, seventh verse, he says, please grant our desire. You know that desire, and grant in a way which you think is the best for us. Right? You decide the means by which we can be given that particular, our particular desire may be fulfilled. Like that. So these are the eight prayers of Lord Brahma. Text 16. Shri Shuka Uvacha Emam Virinchadi Emam virinchadi bhir iditastad Vigyayate sham hridayam yatheva Jagadaji mud gabiraya gira Baddhanjalin sambrita sarvakarakan.
Sukhdev Goswami continued. When the Lord was thus offered prayers by the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, he understood the purpose for which they had approached him. Therefore, in deep voice that resembled the rumbling of clouds, the Lord replied to the demigods, who all stood there attentively with folded hands.
Okay, so So the Lord understood that they have approached him for a means to attain Swarga. Right? So the Lord gives that. एक एवेश्वरस्तस्मिन् सुरकार्ये सुरेश्वरः विहर्तु कामस्थानः समुद्रोन् मथनादिभिः.
Although the supreme personality of God, the master of demigod, was capable of performing the activities of demigod by himself, he wanted to enjoy pastimes in churning the ocean. Therefore, he spoke as follows.
Okay, so the Lord could have given in a very easy way, right? But the Lord asked them to struggle, right? And there are many beautiful pastimes will be performed in that way. Many beautiful pastimes will be performed in that way. So that we will study. You can take a break 10 minutes and then we will start Samudra Manthan, reel off. Right? Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yeah, so text 18, right? So the Lord, he gives them the advice now. Hanta Brahman Hoshambho, He Deva Mama Bhashitam, Shrutva Vahita Sarvesh. Shriyo Vasyadhyatha Suraha.
The Supreme Personality of God had said, O Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva and other demigods, please hear me with a great attention, for what I say will bring good fortune for all of you.
Okay, so the Lord is saying, please follow what I say and it will bring you all good fortune. All good fortune means here ultimate good fortune. Right? It's not that they will not have to undergo struggles, problems, challenges. All that they will have to. You know, we'll see. We'll all be crushed to pieces in the very beginning only. You know, all the limbs broken and everything. Lord, aap bolo the sab bachcha ho gaye sabhi, you know. So, but ultimately the Lord is ensuring that it will bring all good fortune. But the Lord would want them to struggle, right? Face many challenges, depend upon Him, right? But ultimately it will be ultimately good for them. Right? So therefore in this way, chant Hare Krishna and be happy means it will bring you ultimate happiness. You know, not that every step there is, you know. it doesn't negate that there won't be any challenges, problems, you know, which you have to deal with, right? Similarly, one Prabhupada disciple was saying, this instruction of Prabhupada, that chant Hare Krishna and be happy, is like, you go to the hospital and you will fully recover. Aye, Baba, jo injection lagi, uska kya sab? Wo sab beech mein nahi bataya gaya, you know. But you will have to undergo the whole treatment, which may be very painful. Right? They will put you from your throat, you know, so many tubes inside. And all will be very painful. So, the Lord is ensuring ultimate good fortune. Doesn't mean there will be no struggles, problems, difficulties. All that has to be faced actually. Right? Like that.
Yata dānava dhatteyas tāvat sandhir vidhiyatam kālenu grahitastair anugrahitastair yāvad vo bhava atmanā.
As long as you are not flourishing, you should make truce with demons and asuras who are now being favored by time.
Okay, so Prabhupada says that this word kalen in the third line, kalen anugrahitastair. In some reading there is kavyen anugrahitastair. So kalen means favored by time and kavyen means favored by Shukracharya. So Shukracharya being the spiritual master of the Daityas. The demons and Daityas were favored in both ways. And therefore the demigods were advised by the Supreme Lord to execute a truce for the time being until time favored them. What does it mean time favored them? God says, "Theek hai, abhi aap thoda wait for the right time. Now the time is in their favor." Right? So till the time favors you, you have to have a truce with them. What is the meaning of time favoring them? Is time before the Supreme Lord? I said, Bhagavan bole, abhi samay unke, main kuch nahi kar sakta. Abhi samay unke, you know. Some people actually say that, you know, when someone person dies, then people say, you know, kal is samay. उसका काल आ गया. काल के आगे किसी की नहीं चलती. काल के आगे भगवान की भी नहीं चलती. आई थिंक सम पीपल से दैट, यू नो, इस काल के आगे किसी की भी नहीं चलती. यू नो व्हाट यू टॉक ऑफ ह्यूमन बीइंग, जैसे यू नो आदमी तो बात ही क्या, भगवान की भी काल के आगे कुछ नहीं. काल आ गया तो आ गया, बस यू नो फिनिश. सो व्हाट इज द मीनिंग ऑफ दिस काल? काल एक्चुअली इज द एनर्जी ऑफ द लॉर्ड, राइट? और द विल ऑफ द लॉर्ड इज एक्सप्रेस्ड in due course of time. Right? Prabhupada is the inexplicable will of the Lord in 9th chapter, 1st canto. Right? Inexplicable, you can't understand what exactly is the will, but Kaal will reveal the will of the Lord. It is the will of the Lord. Right? So the Lord is telling them that you comply with what is my, comply with my will, my system as of now, because they have worshipped Shukracharya, right? And you have offended Durvasa Muni, right? So therefore, as of now you make a truce. So the Lord has set up certain system. If one follow that system, you know, he will be favored. You know, a particular person, he does a great tapasya, he becomes strong. And the other person only indulges in sense gratification, he becomes weak. You know, even though he may be devotee, whatever, you know. So the Lord says, you know, look, there are certain system which have been set. So the Lord wants his devotees to comply with those systems which has been put forth by him only. So basically the Lord is saying, look, the time, you know, the time, by the time also, see, time also connotes his will, first of all. And the time connotes the laws of material nature. Also because the result of one's karma is brought in due course of time. Right? The laws of material nature acting, and everyone reaps the result of their own past deeds in due course of time. So Lord is basically telling them, look, you have performed certain deeds for which you are supposed to suffer now. Right? By my own arrangement, this is my system, you have performed certain deeds by you are supposed to suffer. So the Kal has brought the fruits of your own, the seeds of your karma, right? The fruits, so Kal brings the fruits of one's karma beej. Basically, you sow a bij and the Kal will bring the fruit, right? So therefore the Lord is saying, look, the Kal has brought this bitter fruits for you of your own karma bij. Therefore you please eat it up for the time being, right? Have patience, and now you follow my advice, in due course of time again you will be reinstated. So many times the Lord actually doesn't interfere with his own established system, and he wants devotees to comply with the system. He wants devotees also to comply and not make them as an exception, actually. Right? So therefore the Lord is telling them, look, the time is in their favor now. Basically, they have done some good acts, they are reaping the good result of that. And you have done some wrong acts and you are suffering because of that. Right? So therefore, for the time being, don't fight with them. And you are going to win now. You're not going to win now. Right? So wait for the right time, and then the Lord suggests make a truce with them. Right? So that is the time factor the Lord is talking of. Text 20. अरयोपि हि संदेया सती कार्यार्थ गौरवे अहि मुशीक वद्देव हिर्थस्यापद विम्बते.
O demigods, fulfilling one's own interest is so important that one may even have to make truce with one's enemies. For the sake of one's self-interest, one has to act according to the logic of the snake and the mouse.
Okay, so now, I was saying, look, to fulfill your self-interest, now you have to make a truce with the enemies. Right? बोले घरे को भी बाप बनाना पड़ता है कभी कभी ऐसा बोलते हैं. Sometimes they are saying, you know. You have to make donkey also as your, accept donkey as your father sometime, you know. So therefore Lord is saying, look, for your own self-interest, now you have to make truce with them, the demons, right, for your self-interest. So one has to act according to the logic of snake and mouse. The Lord is teaching him this particular niti, ahir mushik nyay. Lord recommends them. Someone reads the purport.
Is the snake both of them were caught in the basket, even if the snake ate the mouse, the snake would not be able to get out. Therefore, the snake thought it is wise to make truce with the mouse and ask the mouse to make a hole in the basket so that both of them could get out. The snake's intention was that after the mouse made the hole, the snake would eat the mouse and escape from the basket through the hole. This is called the logic of snake and the mouse.
Text 21. Amritodapad vadane yatna
kriyatam avilambitam yasyapi tasya vajantur mrityugasatomaro bhaved.
Immediately endeavor to produce nectar, which person who is about to die may drink to become immortal.
Okay, so the Lord is actually saying you should all make a truce with the demons. Engage them in bringing the nectar. You all take the nectar and drink. You know, they will only share the labor but not the nectar. Right? Their share will be in the labor. You all take the nectar, you drink and kill them. So, kya, you know, the Lord is saying this, you know. You know, the Lord is telling them how they can cheat the demons. Right? He is teaching them a niti, a political diplomacy. The Lord Himself is teaching. You may say, hum to bhagwan mein sab nahi hai, chal kabad ye sab. Right? Like many people may not be able to reconcile these words of the Lord. Right? But the demigods have approached him for some political solution. The Lord is giving the solution. You know, the Lord is giving them the solution. Right? So, actually, look, in this material world, one has to many times address the immediate cause also. One has to have, there is some immediate problem, one has to address that problem and find some immediate solution. Right? Now, the Lord is giving them the immediate solution. Right? So many times, you know, for immediate solution, one may have to flatter somebody. One may have to make a peace, truce with somebody. One may have to chastise somebody. Whatever you needs to be done, you know. Prabhupada would say, do the needful. Do the needful means what? Do the needful means now, immediately whatever needs to be done, the immediate problem has occurred. You find out the immediate solution to that. You know, whatever needs to be done. Now, so therefore, we have to do the needful in the circumstances. Right? No one can actually get free from that. But that doesn't mean that you do anything. The needful doesn't mean you just do anything you like, you know, whatever. Still, it should be, one should do the needful in accordance with, in under the shelter of Vipra Dharma and Achyut, right? As Bhishmadeva said. So Bhishmadeva had glorified Pandavas by saying, Oho Anyayam, Oho Kashtam, Oho Anyayam. What is the next line? Yad Yuyam Dharma Nandana. Right? Nevarth Jivitam. Yeah, Jivitam Narhatam Klishtam Vipra Dharma Chutashraya. So jivitum na arhata klishtam. You didn't even deserve to live. You had so many difficulties. But you always were under the shelter of Vipra Dharma and Achyut. Right? So therefore, under the shelter of Vipra Dharma Achyut, now, it doesn't mean that a devotee has to always, you know, take a ultimate solution even for immediate problems. That is not a practical thing to do, actually. Right? There is an immediate problem, then one has to discuss, one has to do something. Right? If the person is sick, he has to go and get his blood test and do whatever needs to be done. Right? You can't say, sir, take the ultimate solution, chant Hare Krishna. Right? So that's the ultimate solution for all material problems. But one has to do some immediate measure also one has to take. Right? So therefore, one should not confuse between the two. Right? So, but all the immediate measures also should be guided by Vipradharma Chutashraya. Right? One should not go against them under any. So, one should, being sheltered by these principles of Vipradharma and Achyut, one has to do the needful also in this world. So, therefore, the Lord Himself is advising what to do now in the circumstances, in these immediate circumstances. You make the truce, you have to come together, churn the ocean of milk, bring out the nectar, right? And then you take all the nectar for yourself, everything. So, therefore, the Lord is telling them what to do. But because the Lord is telling, therefore they are under the shelter of the Lord. Right? It's not that to the needful, you mean you do anything whimsical. Doesn't mean you do anything whimsical. Text 22 and 3.
Shuptva shiro dado sarva virutrina latoshadi matanam mandaram kritva mitram kritva tu vasukim sahayena mayadeva nirmanta dhamatandrita Klesho bhajo bhavishyanti netya yujam phalagraha.
O demigods, cast into the ocean of milk all kinds of vegetables, grass, creepers and drugs. Then with my help making Mandar mountain the churning rod and Vasuki the rope for churning, churn the ocean of milk with undiverted attention. Thus the demons will engaged in labor, but you, the demigods, will gain the actual result, the nectar produced from the ocean.
Okay, so the Lord is saying that put all kind of various kind of herbs, creepers, right? In the ocean of milk. And Prabhupada says, it appears when different kind of drugs, creepers, grass and vegetables are put into milk and the milk is churned as if the milk is churned for butter, the active principle of the vegetables and drug mix with the milk and the result is nectar. Right? So the whole formula is not given, how much to put what. Right? But indication is given. All these things the Lord said, you put it and it was known to them, you know, all that. So therefore the Lord indicated, start churning the ocean of milk, putting all these herbs and then the nectar will come out. Klesha bhajo bhavishyanti. Klesha bhajo. So that the demons will only get the trouble, you know, and you serve the nectar and I will help. Sahayena maya deva. I'll help you. You start it. So the demigod may say, we are weak, you know. Wo log hi nectar khinch ke le jayenge. Hum to nahi le. So Lord said, don't worry. I'll help you. Right? Because they had a weaker situation at that point of time. Text 24.
Yujam tadnanu modadhvam yad ichchande asura asura nasam na samrambhena siddhyanti sarvartha santoya yatha.
My dear demigods, with patience and peace everything can be done, but if one is agitated by anger, the goal is not achieved. Therefore whatever the demon ask, agree to their proposal.
Okay, so the Lord again, the Lord is speaking about now a niti. He's giving them a policy, a political advice. Right? So all the knowledge comes from the Lord only. Everything comes from the Lord. Right? So he's not, they have not come to him seeking pure devotional service at that point of time. they want the political advice, and the Lord is giving them. Right? The Lord is giving them. Because after all, they are appointed by Him to carry out His desires. See, Lord is speaking to them, not again, you may say, therefore, when you read such thing, Lord giving all this advice, so sort of how come, you can say that the Lord has nothing to do with this material world? कैसे क्या करना है किसको जाके यू मीट हिम एंड हैव अ ट्रूस एंड देन हाउ टू प्रोड्यूस द नेक्टर एंड एवरीथिंग ऑल द डिटेल लॉर्ड इज सेइंग बट स्टिल ही इज टोटली हाउ मच ही इज इन्वॉल्व बट स्टिल व्हेन यू हियर दैट ही हैज नथिंग टू डू विद दिस मटेरियल वर्ल्ड अरे बाप रे हाउ इज दैट पॉसिबल इफ यू सी to what kind of details the Lord get involved in many a times, and you say He has nothing to do with all of this. He is still separate. He never affected by the, by someone's happiness, someone's distress. It looks like Lord is, it looks like He's a part of them, making various kind of political policies along with the demigods, giving such deep advice. And so any person may say, how can you say, He's aloof from all of this? Seems to be very much involved, right? But still he is aloof, right? Actually, that is the opulence of the Lord, right? That is only possible for the Lord. Right? So these demigods, they are His servants. They carry out His desire, and now to carry out His desire of universal administration, they need some help, and the Lord is giving them. But still, the Lord is remains in a neutral position. Right? He is not partial still. Right? Although it looks to be, very clearly, that's how it is. Right? Just like we discussed that how even though the Lord acts ordinarily, He is never ordinary. Even though the Lord seems to be involved, seems to be acting within the mode of material nature, He is never under the mode of material nature. Right? So like that. So therefore herein the Lord is saying, look, what should be your disposition while churning this ocean? Right? You should have peace and patience. So the Lord is saying that this peace and patience will bring back your prosperity. So you have to take care of these two things. Right? Don't quarrel with the demigods. While you are working on a solution also, there will be many points where you may quarrel and then the whole churning may stop. So remain peaceful. You don't have to quarrel. Now the people usually say, hey, I don't quarrel, he was quarreling. Unhone shuru kiya hai sab. That's what people many times say, when the quarrel takes place, he said, no, he started the quarrel. I never quarrel. No, Lord is saying, you don't get involved in that quarrel. They may instigate a quarrel, you agree with them. How will they quarrel then? It's a fact actually. In this age of Kali, there may be people who may want to instigate a quarrel. But you have to act intelligently that you don't get part of that quarrel. Intelligently, resolve it. Don't get part of quarrel. Because the Lord says, basically the Lord advised them, when they instigate a quarrel, how you can stop a quarrel? By making a compromise. Look, samajh hai, ye humko chahiye. ठीक है यू वॉन्ट टू ऑल्सो हैव इट डोंट से एक तुम्हारा एक मेरा सेड ओके लेट यू टेक टू एंड थ्री व्हाटएवर सो देयरफॉर क्वारल कैन ओनली बी स्टॉप्ड व्हेन यू कॉम्प्रोमाइज विदाउट कॉम्प्रोमाइजिंग देर विल बी ऑलवेज क्वारल इज अ फैक्ट एक्चुअली राइट सो देयर इज वन नाइस सेइंग ही सेड यू वॉन्ट टू गेट इट एंड यू गेट इट Right? You want to get it and you get it. What does that mean? You had a good destiny. That is destiny. You want to get it, you get it. That is destiny. You want to get it and you work hard to get it. That is your ability. Right? You said, I earned it. You know, like people say, you earn it. You have ability. You exercise your ability. You want to get it, but you compromise. Right? Compromise means willingly give it up. That is life. So actually, in Kali Yuga, or especially in the material world, destiny and ability is very minimal. You know, very few people may be very destined. You want to get it and you get it, or you earn it. You know, most of the people, if a person wants to, life means to compromise. That means a peaceful life in one sense. You want to live peacefully in this world, one has to learn compromise. If there is no compromise, then what? Quarrel. It's a fact. Right? So, you know, this is therefore the Lord is saying, look, you cannot quarrel because quarrel will spoil everything. So therefore, compromise. When the demigods, they have their opinion and they are very strong about their opinion, you compromise. And then, it's a fact actually, you know, while we serve together, each person has his opinion how to do the service. Unless other person learns compromise, there will be quarrel. So, the cooperation, like Prabhupada said, you will show your love for me by showing how you cooperate. Means how you compromise, actually. The fact. Unless you learn to compromise, compromise means I want to strongly do in this particular way, this particular thing, I want to, this project should flourish in this way. But the other person has also a strong opinion. Unless one person learns to compromise, there is always be quarrel. So the Lord teaches them, look, peace and patience will bring prosperity. To have peace means to not have quarrel, means to compromise. First thing. And then have patience. Right? Second thing is to have patience. That it's not that the nectar will come immediately. Many difficulties will come. Poison will come first. You have to have patience. You know, you can't grow despondent. You know, nectar, where is the nectar? Why the nectar is not coming? Have patience. Right? Tolerate the poison. Keep compromising. Keep churning the ocean. Right? So a lot of patience is required. So peace and patience will restore your prosperity. Lord said, look, these two things are important for you. Right? Don't quarrel with the demons. Compromise. And let them be peaceful. Right? So you have to churn the ocean with peace and patience. Right? So there's a fact actually. There's a way to also live in this material world. Right? We want to access the nectar of, you know, Krishna prem, right? Love for Krishna. But we are living in this material world, right? We are living in this material world. So, in order to continue the churning, right, of our hearts, own hearts, to extract Krishna prem from it, we need to be peaceful and patience. Right? So, it's our duty, even if the other person wants to pick up a quarrel, it's our duty not to quarrel with him. Right? So, very beautiful advice the Lord gives, that you have to do this. Right? You have to avoid all kind of quarrel by executing by compromising, basically. By intelligently, you should be intelligent and you should not become part of the quarrel. And remain patient. And then you will achieve the goal of life. The desired goal, actually. 25. Nabhetavyam kalakutad Vishajaladi sambhavat Lobhakaryo navojatu Rosha kamas
vastu vastushu.
A poison known as Kalakuta will be generated from the ocean of milk, but you should not fear it. And when various products are churned from the ocean, you should not be greedy for them or anxious to obtain them, nor should you be angry.
Okay, now another. So it's a very beautiful advice actually. This is how the every devotee have to execute Krishna, one's practice within this material world. Right? We are executing devotional service in this material world. Right? So there are some important things to be followed so that the Krishna consciousness, the churning should go on, right? So that we can achieve the ultimate nectar of Krishna's love. There are certain protocols to be followed. The churning should not stop. Right? So therefore, the first advice Lord gave, again now the Lord is saying, look, the poison will appear, the Lord warns them. You don't become fearful. You don't become fearful. Right? And many allurements will come. You don't become greedy after them. Right? So basically, let's put it in this way. The Lord is saying, this poison is like many difficulties, many challenges will come. Right? So the Lord is advising, deal with it. Don't run away in fear. So when the poison comes, right, even in our society, the poison means a bitter situation, fighting, quarrel, whatever, you know. Lord is saying, don't run, deal with it. And when the allurements come, leave it. When the poison come, deal. And when the allurements come, leave it. Just leave it. Don't become greedy after it. Okay, so the two things basically the Lord is saying. Right? So, basically what happens, most of the time opposite happens in spiritual society. When the problems come, people leave. Run away from it. You know? And then when the allurements come, they start dealing, you know, who will get how much, whatever, whatever. The Lord is saying, look, you want to achieve the ultimate goal, you don't run away when the challenges come. Deal with it, and deal with it while keeping faith in me, right? Deal it in a Vaishnava way. Actually, that is something actually we all have to learn. Deal the problems in a Vaishnava way. Right? That means to deal with the problems while being sheltered by Vipradharma and Achyuta. Right? Vipradharma Achyuta Ashraya. Right? We don't give up this shelter and we don't behave like ordinary, you know, persons. Right? In a Vaishnava way, not giving up the Vaishnava dealings, right? Not disrespecting someone. Right? And not blaming and criticizing someone. In a Vaishnava way, once you deal, there will be many trifles. Right? And when there are facilities, allurement, and people, yeah, you just leave it. I said, okay, I don't want any facility. Let anyone else take it up. Right? You don't become greedy for it. And in this way, in this disposition, you will be able to ultimately achieve the goal. Right? So basically, don't be distracted by the intermediate results. Remain focused on the ultimate goal. So that's also very beautiful advice. That remain focused on the nectar herein, the nectar which will come out, but we have to remain focused on the nectar of Krishna's holy name. Right? We want to achieve that nectar which is obtained by chanting the Lord's holy name. Right? So there is a beautiful verse in Chaitanya-caritamrita which says, Sadanam Lai Bayat Labete Santosh Sait achara kare bhakti dharma posh. And he said, Sada naam laiva. You always chant the holy name. Yat labete santosh. Whatever it comes on his own accord, you know. You don't fight for the facilities, your own rights and this and that, you know. Don't just whatever comes, you just accept it, you know. No facilities is coming, this and that, leave it, just. You remain focused on chanting the holy name of the Lord. Right? This, Prabhupada says, this attitude solidly maintains one's devotional service. So like that. Prabhupada says in the last line of the purpose, the real purpose was to get the nectar. Right? So our also purpose is the same. Right? To get the nectar of chanting the holy name of the Lord, nectar of reading about Him, right? Nectar of rendering service to the Lord, like that. So these two verses are, you know, we can actually develop a whole seminar, you know, give so many examples, this and that. Practically, if we expand this two verses, you know, there can be the art of living in the material world, kind of, you know. while being focused on the ultimate goal. Right? Text 26. Iti devan samadishya Bhagavan Purushottama Teshamantarda de Rajan Suchanda Gadirishvaraha.
Sukadeva Goswami continued, O King Parikshit, after advising the demigod in this way, the independent Supreme Personality of God at the best of all living entities disappeared from their presence.
So the Lord went away after advising. 27. Atha tasme bhagavate namaskritya pitamaha bhavascha jagmatu swam swam dhamupeyur balim sura.
Then Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, after offering their respectful obeisances to the Lord, returned to their abodes. All the demigods then approached Maharaj Bali.
Okay, so then all the demigods now, as per Lord's advice, approached Maharaj Bali. Nishtvarinappe samyattan Jata Shobhan Sunayakan Nishedhadyatya Rat Shlokya Sandhi Vigraha Kalavit.
Maharaj Bali, a most celebrated king of the demons, knew very well when to make peace and when to fight. Thus, although his commanders and captains were agitated and were about to kill the demigods, Maharaj Bali, seeing that the demigods were coming to him without a militant attitude, forbade his commanders to kill them.
So Prabhupada says that Bali Maharaj knew what is the etiquette, you know, what is the Vedic etiquette of receiving a guest. If a person has come without military attitude, he should not be fought with. He should be received in a way that is enjoined to receive atithi, in a very hospitable way. Right? And Prabhupada quotes this verse. This is also a kind of a niti verse. Grihe shatrum api praptam vishvastam akuto bhayam. When enemy come to opponent's place, they should be received in such a way that they will forget that there is animosity between the two parties. Right? And Prabhupada said this kind of treatment was prevalent even during the fight between Pandavas and Kurus. So he knew the etiquette, and Maharaj Bali stopped his commanders and captains to actually start a fight. He said, they have not come to fight over here. Te vairojanim asinam guptam chasura yuthape shriya paramaya justam
Jita Shesham Upagaman. The demigods approached Bali Maharaj, the son of Virochana, and sat down near him. Bali Maharaj was protected by the commanders of the demons and was most opulent, having conquered all the universe.
Okay, so Jita Shesham, Bali Maharaj was very opulent. He conquered all the various planets. Mahindra Shlakshana Yavacha Santvayitva Mahamatihi Abhyabhashat Tatsarvam Shikshitam Purushottamat.
After pleasing Bali Maharaj with mild words, Lord Indra, the king of the demigods, who was most intelligent, very politely submitted all the proposals he had learned from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu.
So it appears that it's not mentioned here, but the Lord gave a detailed advice. Shikshitam Purushottamat. The Lord told what kind of prabodhal they should put, how to put, you know, so that their intentions are, their ill intentions, you know, in that sense, you know, from that point of view, are not cached by them, and they should put their proposal in a very alluring way. So Bhagwan ne pura sikha ke ekdam se shikshitam purushottamat, you see, if you know. So the Indra exactly followed the way Lord told, you know, how to put the proposal. Pura unko aisa ghul ke aisa pila ke bheja, you know. That's also, you know, the Lord's affection for the devotees. Because they, after all, are carrying His will. Right? 31. Tattva rocha dhatyasya tatranne yesuradhipa shambaro rishtane mischa Yechatripuravasina.
The proposals submitted by King Indra were immediately accepted by Bali Maharaj and his assistants, headed by Shambara and Aristanemi, and by all the other residents of Tripura.
Okay, so the Lord knows the demonic mentality, right? So He told them how to put the proposal in a detail. And when the Indra put a proposal in this way, they all agreed. You know? They all agreed. Immediately all the various demonic leaders also agreed. And therefore, Bali Maharaj, he accepted their proposal. Right? So Prabhupada says, look, the demons want to cheat the demigods have come to cheat the demons. And the demons also planned that they will cheat the demigods. Right? So the both parties, Prabhupada said, look, all this political diplomacy, cheating, and everything going on everywhere, in the higher planet system also. But there is a difference. Because the demigods have come to cheat on behalf of the Lord. Because they are doing a service on behalf of the Lord in administrative affairs. So they are under the shelter of the Lord. Right? So therefore, the point is actually in this material world, you know, we in order to deal with various circumstances, various people, various situations, we have to many times opt various, you know, diplomatic ways while we are in this world. Right? But we should not use that diplomacy with the devotees actually. You know, in this world we have to use all these things as right? But if some demigod think, you know, chalo aapas mein group bana ke, we will not give them, you know, four of us will take, you know, not all the demigods. That would be actually going against the will of the Lord. You understand? So therefore, these things, many times we have to use certain things which the devotees sometimes feel, hey, this goes against the devotional service, you know. Sometimes we may have to speak a lie, sometimes we have to speak in roundabout way, and many things needs to be done in this world, right? Because in order to carry out actually the responsibilities given, right, in order to carry the mission of the Lord, Many things need to be done. So one should not feel that they are against that devotional service. That is to deal with the world, you know. To deal with this hostile world, to deal with this, you know, the world which is naturally, you know. So we have to use many times the ways of this world to deal with this world. Right? Because we are living here. Many times the ways of this world have to be used. But those ways should not come in the way of our dealings with the Vaishnavas and our dealings with Krishna. Right? We should not try to use all those things in devotional realm. Right? So therefore, we should not mix them actually like that. So both are having cheating mentality, but there's a difference still. Right? So therefore, many times, you know, devotees also become bewildered, you know. We are just like becoming like ordinary karmis only, you know. Speak lies, speak, use diplomacy, etc., etc., you know. Many times devotees, they face this problem that, you know, if we are used the ways of this world, we are just become like worldly people. So no, in this world, these ways have to be used, but with the devotees and the Lord, we should actually not use this. So this is just a tool to be used for the time being and not, you know, and then kept aside, basically. Right? So it requires a great wisdom and maturity and broad-mindedness, you know, to be able to use it and keep it separate, right? And don't bring in the devotional realm. Right? Otherwise, devotees feel we are just like becoming, you know, like them only. No. You have to use these tools under the shelter of, you know, under the guidance of the Lord devotees, under the guidance of scriptures, under the guidance of Lord Himself. Right? This has to be done in this world actually, you know. You can't avoid it. But it should be done in a proper way. Right? Like that. 32.
Toto deva sura kritva samvidam krita sohrida udyamam paramam chakrur amritarthe parantva.
O Maharaj Parikshit, chastiser of enemies, the demigods and the demons thereafter made an armistice between them. Then with great enterprise they arranged to produce nectar as proposed by Lord Indra.
Okay, so now they see, although again very important point, so this actually this Samudra Manthan is filled with the important lessons of how to execute Krishna's mission in this world, right? While cultivating devotional service, how to execute the Lord's mission in the material world. Very important points are mentioned. So now the demigods and demons who have opposite values, who have opposite qualities, who have totally opposite natures, they follow opposite principles, but they have come to agreement now. Some with them, they have signed an agreement. Now they are going to act on a common platform. They have come together. Right? So, therefore, in order to execute Krishna's mission, sometime we have to find a common platform even with people who are against Krishna and use their energy in Krishna's service. Or use their energy in executing the mission of Krishna. Right? So there are many, you know, sampradayas, there are many, you know, opinions in this world. But if, and they have their own philosophy, this and that, you know, there is nothing common as such. Dress may be different, values may be different, everything. But somehow, the expertise is to find something common of Krishna's interest and use their energy to serve that. Right? So this is also one of the art a devotees have to learn, basically. Right? Find some common principle, right? And Just like I give you one example, there was in Kumbh Mela, there was one sampradaya, you know, who was organizing a big bhandara, you know, and so I went to meet the leaders of them, you know, let me see how they are organizing, you know, a really good big bhandara. How do they, you know, collect funds? How do they, you know, we can learn something from them. And maybe they can also help us in some way. Like we also organize mass prasadam distribution, right? So I just went to meet the leaders and trying to find out, right? So they had 500 volunteers who had come to serve without any particular charge, right? 500 volunteers had come. I said, oh, this is something very amazing, you know, how do they inspire the volunteers, etc., you know, what do they do? So there are many things, or probably, I was also sharing with Gaurang Prabhu. I said, look, maybe someday we can have a truce with them in the sense, and you know, we can serve, they have volunteers and we have nice prasadam, you know, we have certain strength, they have certain strength, maybe we can find some common platform where our strength can be combined to serve Krishna. I'm just giving one example. So in this world, we will find that there are so many people who have energies. If we can find some common platform and harmonize energy to serve Krishna's mission, actually that is the best way to serve Krishna. And Krishna himself is teaching. Demigods have a lot of strength, you know. The demons, you know, have a lot of strength. They have bulging muscles. More than the demigods, they have a lot of strength and everything. So Lord is saying, you know, utilize their strength to churn the ocean, right? So they have found a common, somewhere a common platform to come together. You got the point? So therefore, in this world, instead of fighting with various other spiritual institutions, right, instead of criticizing them, of course, when we criticize them, we want to say their philosophy is wrong, etc. But actually, we can find some common platform to work with them, various institutions, and utilize their energy to serve Krishna's purpose. Some common platform can be found. That is actually a great intelligence, actually. Serving Krishna with intelligence. Right? So, in this way, the mission of the Lord can be carried out in a more effective way. If we can harmonize many, many energies, finding a common platform and harmonize those energies to serve Krishna. Right? Like that. So, that is also being taught over here. In, you know, because the two opposite parties have come together. It's not easy, actually. Right? They're the other end of the spectrum. But they have come together now. Right, on the advice of Lord Vishnu himself. But in order to come together, it's not easy to come together. Therefore, Lord Vishnu told him, you both are opposite. Right? Therefore, you have to practice what? Peace and patience. You have to deal with certain things and leave certain things. Right? So therefore, it's not easy actually. It requires all these qualities also to find a common platform and go on. Right? Utilize their energies in the service of Krishna, like that. Therefore, the word samvidam, Prabhupada also, the word samvidam has many meanings in this verse. Right? I basically elaborated this word. Tato deva asura kritva samvidam krit sohrida. They have agreement. Samvidam here means agreement. It has many meanings, Vishnu should have pointed out. In this context, now they have signed, common agreement. Like that. 33. Tataste mandaragirim ojasotpatya durmada nadanta udadhim ninyo shaktaha parigavahava.
Thereafter, with great strength, the demons and demigods, who were all very powerful and who had long stout arms, uprooted Mandara mountain. Crying very loudly, they brought it toward the ocean of milk.
Right? So they were crying because it was not easy to lift the right? Weightlifters, you see, sometimes they cry out, they shout out, whatever. So they lifted, but they lifted the mountain and they started bringing it toward the ocean of milk.
Durbharodvaha Shanta Shakravairojanadaya Aparayantastam Vodum Vivasha Vijahupati.
Because of conveying the great mountain for a long distance, King Indra, Maharaj Bali and the other demigods and demons became fatigued. Being unable to carry the mountain, they left it on the way.
Okay, so they had to carry long distance. Somehow they picked it up, but they became too fatigued, you know. So they left it. And some of them ran out quickly. Others, you know, they had their legs and hands, you know, underneath the mountain and they were crushed. Right? So like that. This is also important thing. Right? Because they are carrying out, they are sheltered actually, so they will be protected. Right? So, while we are dealing in this material world, it's not as an easy thing as we are discussing actually. To live, to carry out Krishna's mission in this world is not an easy thing actually. You know, because the whole material world is hostile. You know, there are so many tough circumstances, challenges. Surely a person will be fatigued in due course of time, you know. And he may lose his stamina. But somehow, if he is under the right shelter, if he is always doing the things to please the devotees, please the Lord, then even if that person is fatigued and is crushed by the burden, you know, of a particular project in this material world, whatever, the Lord will come to rescue. The Lord is saying, Lord told you carry it out, it's not an easy task, but I will help you, right? The Lord promised in the very beginning only, I will help you. Right? So therefore, we should also be ensured, right, that of course there is a hard struggle in this material world, but when we are over fatigued, you know, we are being crushed by the waves of this material nature, the Lord will come to rescue if we are executing it under the proper guidance. Our shelter, we have to make sure that our shelter is proper, right? Then everything will follow. Right? Like that. So the Lord will actually now help.
Nipatansa giristatra Mahuna amaradanavan Chunyama samahata Bharena Kanakachala.
The mountain known as Mandara, which was extremely heavy, being made of gold, fell and smashed many demigods and demons.
Okay, so Prabhupada says the gold is heavier than the stone. This mountain Mandara was made from gold and it was heavier than a stone mountain. Therefore, they all churnya mas mahata bharen, very heavy, because kanak achala, this mountain is made of gold. Kanak achala. 36.
Tamsata bhagnamanaso bhagnabaho rukandaran vigyaya bhagavam satra Babuva Garudhaja.
The demigods and demons were frustrated and disheartened, and their arms, thighs, and shoulders were broken. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who knows everything, appeared there on the back of his carrier, Garuda.
Okay, so with their bodies being crushed, their minds, their enthusiasm was also crushed. Right? This is how it is, you know, when we often, you know, when our plans or our own strength, bodily strength diminishes. Sometimes, most of the time, our enthusiasm also tends to go down. So therefore, bhagna manasa also, with their being physically crushed, their enthusiasm, their mental strength were also being crushed. So the Lord appeared to help. Right? Lord appeared to help them. because they are carrying out his mission under his guidance. So therefore, we should also be assured of the Lord's help. Right?
Giripada Vinishpishtan Vilukya Maradhanavan Ikshaya Jivayamasa Nirjaran Nirvranan Yatha.
Observing that most of the demons and the demigods had been crushed by the falling of the mountain, the Lord glanced over them and brought them back to life. Thus they became free from grief, and they even had no bruises on their bodies.
Okay, so just by the Lord's glance, they again were rejuvenated physically and mentally both. Right? Physically and mentally both. By the Lord's glance. Actually, there is a great power in the Lord's glance. Right? There is no doubt about it. So, you know, a person who regularly goes before the deity of the Lord, offering obeisances, right? Even daily, going before the deity of the Lord, you know, few times a day, as many times as possible, that glance actually nourishes us. We may not be knowing it actually. The glance of the Lord, when he sees us, you know, we are going to before that we may be glanced by the Lord. That glance nourishes us, rejuvenates us, you know, we become fatigued in due course of time, this material world. But that glance is actually very nourishing. It restores us, it restores our enthusiasm, right? So, therefore, Vrindavan Das Thakur, in one verse, he prays, Jiva Prati Kara Prabhu Shubha Dishti Path. He says, my Lord, please please bestow your auspicious glance upon all living entities. Right? So this is a fact actually. You know, if people, they regularly come before the Lord, they will be rejuvenated. Right? It has an amazing, miraculous effect, the Lord's glance. Right? Therefore, if you are feeling fatigued and, you know, a little bit depressed, come before the Lord, you know, sit before him. Let his glance fall upon you. Come more often than regular. Right? In fact, we take this measure, we'll see that how the Lord's glance works. With the second last verse.
Girim charupya garude. Haste naikena leelaya Aruya praya vabdim Sura surganer vrita.
The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons.
So, actually, again, what seems to be a big mountainous problem, for the Lord is nothing. You know, for the Lord is nothing. Can you imagine, it's such a problem where all the demigods, you know, who are the bestower of many benedictions, whom everyone approach for solution to their problem, and the possessor of all, you know, great skills and mystic powers and strength, and the strength of demons combined together can't solve this problem, right? It's a huge mountainous problem practically, you know. But for the Lord, it's nothing, right? Therefore, as we discussed also today morning, the problems in this material world are actually big. They are huge. But their solution is actually very simple, right? As soon as we surrender to the Lord, when the Lord helps come, then for him there is nothing actually. For him, the Lord, the problem is nothing. Leela, you know, for him just a little bit of leela to solve mountainous problem. Right? So therefore, Prabhupada says, Here is the proof of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone. And the Prabhupada in the purport mainly discusses between the attitude of the demons and the demigods. Right? Prabhupada says, even the demons, when they witness, right? So now someone may say, hey, look, the demons should have become devotees. You know, the demons should have become, they just saw that, you know, there is a big problem and the Lord came and easily resolved. Why didn't they become dedicated to Him? So Prabhupada says, this is the attitude of demons. They say, this is all by accident, you know. It's all by accident we fell away, and by accident He lifted it. You know, so the Prabhupada addressed that point in a, you know, very nicely over here. Right? That they just label it as accident and they continue to have faith in their own ability and strength. You know, but the demigod, they always give credit to the Lord and they depend upon Him. Like that. Text 39, the last. Avaropya girim skandat spanha patatam vara yayo jalant utsrijya harinasa visarjitaha.
Thereafter, Garuda, the chief of birds, unloaded Mandara mountain from his shoulder and brought it near the water. Then he was asked by the Lord to leave that place, and he left.
Okay, so the Lord, He carried the mountain as well as all the demons and the demigods near the ocean of milk. Now start churning. Right? So the Lord gave them, He rescued them from this immediate problem. Right? Again, but this points out that the while the Lord rescued them, He asked Garuda to leave now. He brought all of them and said, now you start churning and the Lord will also participate. But He asked Garuda to leave. Right? He asked Garuda to leave. Because Prabhupada says, because Garuda is not vegetarian. Right? He eats big snakes. Right? He eats big snake. This is also a small interesting point over here. You know, why did the Lord have to ask even Garuda to leave? You know, it's not that, could He not manage in Garuda's presence? You know, someone would say, look, is not Garuda not subservient to the Lord? The Lord may tell him, look, Vasuki is going to come and he will churn the ocean and you don't eat him up. Will that not work? What do you say? Why the Lord had to ask Garuda to go away? Huh? What do you say? Vasuki? Okay, Vasuki would be fearful. Yes. Vasuki could be fearful. Anything else? Best utilization of resources. Actually, there is one leadership lesson which Hisulay Radhana Swami Maharaj gave from this. Yes. So like that. So I just want to read exactly on this a small thing. I'm just searching for that. Yeah. So Radha Shyam Prabhu asked this question. that here is a Garuda who would eat snake and here is Vasuki. Will the Lord ask Garuda because Garuda may not cooperate with him, you know? Did the Lord had that fear that Garuda may not cooperate, you know, eat of the Vasuki who is to be, you know, basically used as a churning rope, right? So so His Holy Radhananda Maharaj said, no, you know, it's not that point. It's the question of being a leader, being sensitive, wise and intelligent, you know. You can just, and he said, it's a question of giving each person his space, you know. So, to put Garuda and Vasuki in the same space is not an intelligent decision. You know, why a leader should put two opposite nature in the same service, you know, and then expect them to cooperate. It's not a good decision. So therefore, a leader has to give a separate space to people with opposite natures. That's intelligence, that's wisdom. Right? So he said, that's intelligence, that wisdom, that and that sensitivity. Three things he said. That he asked the Garuda to go away, the Lord, is his wisdom, intelligence and sensitivity. Right? So you don't always, you know, see, it's a fact actually, you know, sometime we seek a very tough solution to a common problem. You know, we put up, you know, people of opposite nature and say, cooperate. Give them different service and, you know, everything goes well. You got the point. So sometimes it's a fact actually, you know. Sometimes we create the problem sometimes our own self in this world. Right? We create the problem of our own self, you know. But that's not required. Right? It's not required that Garuda and Vasuki to be together at the same point of time. So therefore, with the rather than you know, seeking their cooperation, etc., you just say, okay, now you leave, nothing, you have done your task, you go away, and Vasuki will be here, now his service begins. Right? So it's a solution which is giving these three leadership qualities. Right? So it's also, it can have many applications which, you know, which I'm not going to discuss here. But it's a good, nice principle. Right? So in this way, the Lord facilitates this churning of the ocean in a very beautiful way. Right? Giving many, many important teachings and lessons which will continue. Right. So tomorrow we will go at a little better pace because we have to cover two chapters tomorrow. Right. And we may also go a little, we will try to start sharp on time. Today I was a little late. 10:30 we will start and go probably 10 minutes extra. Right. And try to cover and not miss upon the lessons, but still have a decent pace off. Right. 7 and 8 tomorrow will cover. The Lord facilitating this churning of the milk ocean. Jai Granthra Srimad Bhagatam Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari 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 Bhut.